Again, I just want to say welcome if you're visiting today and you have a student at CCS, or if you're a staff member and you have come and decided to spend your time with us this morning. I pray that you will be encouraged by what we will share today and what we talk about. Last week, after we shared worship together, I had a parent and then another person share with me that when we talked about entertaining angels unaware, my diction may not have been the best. I may not have enunciated that the best, because I understand that what some of you may have heard in the audience was that we were entertaining angels underwear. And just to be theologically correct, just to tell the truth, I don't know what kind of clothes angels wear. I don't know, but hopefully, if they do wear clothing, they do wear underwear. So that tore me up. That was awesome. I enjoy hearing that. And thank you, young people, for paying so good attention. Feel free to correct me on any mistake that I may or may not even make as we talk together. So we're beginning a new series today talking about encouragement, talking about what it means to be an encourager and how we ourselves need to learn to accept encouragement, because sometimes I know that it's difficult to accept encouragement from other people. We have something inside of us that just tells us, I don't deserve to hear this. When someone says, hey, you look nice today, there's a little voice in our head that says, they're just saying that. There's a little voice inside ourselves that says, yeah, but maybe not as nice as somebody else. Or you did a good job. Well, maybe for me. Maybe for me, I did a good job. But in the standard of what job is good and what is not good, I'm not sure that I met the good standard. So for some of us, it's hard to receive encouragement. For some of us, it actually is hard to give it. It's hard to give it. We're critics by nature. We, and I hate to say this, but immediately see what was wrong with the situation. Actually, I don't hate to say that, because that actually is a gift that you may have. In that, in some ways, we have to overcome our gifts. Some of us can naturally see the danger in situations, and that's a blessing. We can naturally see details that need to be fixed, and that's a blessing. At the same time, we have to train ourselves to see the good, even as we see some things that are difficult. This verse from Hebrews chapter 6, and we're going to spend a little bit of time in Hebrews today. Some of your versions will say this: encourage one another daily as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Some of your versions may say admonish. Some of your versions may say challenge. Encouragement takes many forms, and we'll get deeper into that in just a second. But before we do, I want to share this image with you. This is from 1989. Many of you were not even born in 1989. This is a picture of the cleanup from the Exxon Valdez oil spill. I remember when that happened, and it was a big deal. Basically, enough oil spilled from this oil tanker that was the size of a football field, enough oil spilled from this oil tanker to fill up 120 Olympic-sized swimming pools full with oil. Just to give you kind of an image of how much oil leaked into the ocean off the coast of Alaska, it was a disaster. Cost about $300 million just on cleanup alone. Four men lost their lives while they were trying to clean up this mistake, this this error. Four men lost their lives. Not to mention thousands of animals. And one of the images that I remember in that year, 1989, was pictures of birds and seals and animals just being totally covered in oil. And how tragic that felt to me as a young man looking at those things. There's an interesting story that comes out of this oil spill. It actually cost about $80,000. Well, it averaged out to be $80,000 for each seal that they gave a bath to get this oil off of. And there were two seals that cost way above average to rehabilitate. And so they cleaned these seals up and they took time and they got them, brought them back to health. And it was a grandiose day when they were releasing these seals back from captivity into the waters off the coast of Alaska. A bunch of people showed up. They celebrated it. I imagine they cooked out. Probably not. They probably didn't eat seal. I don't know. But they cooked out and they watched these two seals return to the ocean. But within 60 seconds of the release of these seals, a killer whale came up and ate them both. Both of them. These $100,000 seals that they had released into the ocean. I think about that when I think about my sister on her birthday. She was given a kitten for her birthday. And we had a neighborhood dog, and don't laugh, his name was Dookie. I know. We had a neighborhood dog, and my sister got this kitten, and I wasn't alive at the time. I wish I would have been. I've heard this story secondhand. She took the kitten. She loved the kitten. She petted the kitten. She set the kitten onto the ground to watch it walk around. Dookie killed it. Immediately came up and ate her kitten. Isn't that just like life? Isn't that just like life? We fail a test we thought we were going to pass. We don't get the job, and we thought we aced the job interview. We lost a loved one. Or we're on vacation and we get appendicitis. Right, Katie? This year when we went on vacation to see my family, we got to Nashville, spent a night with my mom and my dad, and my mother that night had a gallbladder attack. And she spent the rest of our vacation with our family in the hospital recuperating from emergency gallbladder surgery. It's just the way life goes, isn't it? I think about Jesus' words in John chapter 16, verse 33. In this world, it's not, you may have trouble, you will. Some of your Bibles say tribulation. It's a stronger word for trouble. In this world, you're going to have trouble, but take heart because I have overcome the world. In this world, you're going to come head to head with trouble, but take heart because I have overcome the world. Some of you who have had conversations with, you may know that I'm trying to take that conjunction out of my vocabulary for the most part. The word but, I'm trying to take that out of my vocabulary, not because it's a bad word, but because it's a relatively ineffective word, and it serves in contrary, or it serves to do the opposite of what a lot of us are trying to do with our language, especially when it comes to encouragement. Especially when it comes to encouragement. So I'm going to ask you, because I'm about to put a slide up, and I knew that before I put this slide up, I was going to have to prepare you. I'm going to ask you, some of you, depending on the way you view life, are going to chuckle at this. Some of you are going to shake your head, and you're going to be like, okay. Because I'll just let you see it. What I do think is that you will remember this, at least for the rest of the day. I want to challenge you to think about this. Don't let your butt destroy your good intentions. And what I mean by that is when Jesus says, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. This word actually negates what comes before it. And what we need to realize is that when we use the word, we sometimes have to have the potential to negate the encouragement that we're trying to share with other people. I want to explain to you what I mean about Jesus' words, and then we'll take a second and look at what this slide means a little bit more deeply. When Jesus says, in this world, you will have trouble, he's letting you know that there is one thing for certain. There is one thing for certain. That trouble is the way of the world. Having trouble is the way of the world. And then he's letting them know one other thing for certain. That my victory over sin is enough to overwhelm the trouble that exists for you in this world. If you can take hold of the promise, if you can take hold of the gift, if you can take hold of grace, this grace will be enough to get you through. In this world, you will have trouble, but that trouble does not have to matter so much to you because I have overcome the world. So we cannot afford, as Jesus is a master with language, we cannot afford to let our butt negate our encouragement. And what I mean by this is you might come to somebody who's lost a loved one and say, I'm really sad to hear that your husband passed away, but he's in a better place. I'm really sad your husband passed away, but I know he's in a better place. I'm sad, but not really because of this. Right? You did a great job cleaning your room, but you missed a spot. You didn't really do a good job cleaning your room. You could have done that. You could have done better. We are oftentimes in danger of letting our butts ruin our encouragement. Let that soak in. Steep in that. Think about the way that you have tried to encourage or that you have talked to other people about that. I think about some of you young people, you sit down for dinner and there is a dish that is your nemesis, right? I mean, there is a vegetable that you wish God would not have created. I know you don't like those English peas. I'm not talking about from my history. Maybe I am. I know you don't like English peas. There are a million starving kids across the world who would kill to have one of your peas. And all of us are like, well, send it to them, right? Right? We're logical. We can think with our brains. Mail them the peas and give me the tasty cakes, all right? I know, but... it negates all the good that we're trying to do. So we need to be careful with the way that we throw down that word. And what I want to do for the rest of our time is spend just a few minutes looking at some ways that we can be effective as encouragers in the kingdom of God and some ways that we can be effective in receiving encouragement. We got stuff going on down there. Hit that up arrow. Sometimes this thing breaks. So go back to show up. There we go. That's where we need to be. The very first thing that I think would be helpful for you to do as an encourager, as a person who's seeking to be the person that God has called you to be in His kingdom, is to show up. And what I mean by showing up is I mean show up here, in this place, every Sunday, every Wednesday, to your life groups, show up. Because I want to be honest with you for a second. Sometimes we come to worship and we don't feel very worshipful, and we don't feel like the sermon was for us. And that inner critic in us sets back and says something like, I just don't really feel like I was being fed this Sunday. I don't feel like I received anything that I needed. I don't feel like I got anything out of that. And what I want to challenge you with is that if you're a big boy or you're a big girl, not every service is about you. Not every service exists so that you can be fed, because big boys and big girls learn how to feed themselves. They develop spiritual habits of studying Scripture. They develop prayer lives. They meditate on God's Word. They don't necessarily need to be in every class that ever happens at our church building so that they can learn something new. They do need to show up so that they can encourage the rest of the brotherhood, because there was one time when you needed to receive it. There was one time when you needed to receive the words that were shared from the pulpit or from the classroom, desperately. And now God has blessed you and you're in a stage of life where maybe you didn't need to hear those words in that same way, but you needed to share love in His way. So one of the great ways that you can be an encourager in the kingdom of God is to show up, not only at church, but in other people's times of need. I think about these words from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 25. Brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us, the curtain that is His body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let's draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our heart sprinkled, to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider, let us think about, let us pay thoughtful attention. Let us consider how we may spur one another on. How we can help people move forward. How we can motivate others toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up on meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. But let us encourage one another all the more as you see the day approaching or drawing near. Some of us are here today because we need to receive something. Some of us are here today because God put you here so that you could give something. And many of us know that it is more blessed to give than to receive. Would you hit that one more time for me? Hit the down arrow this time. Thank you. Hit it down again. There we go. Look for opportunities to record and share the stories of others. I put this section of Scripture up from the book of Deuteronomy. God wanted to make sure that His people would share the story of His good grace and His goodness to their children, so that their children would continue to walk along in faith. It was important for God, important to God, that His story be shared. Doesn't it make sense that it might be important to some other people in our midst that their stories be shared too? When we pay attention and record the stories and the good deeds of others and then share those stories in front of other people, we not only validate them, we empower them. We give them the strength to do more of those good things. What gets rewarded in life is what gets repeated. What gets rewarded is what gets repeated. Make it your habit to pay attention to the good deeds that people around you are doing. And then make it your habit to share those good deeds as well. Hit it again for me, please. Don't be afraid to tell hard truths. Here's the thing about encouragement. In our society, we generally sit back and begin to define encouragement as things like nice hair day. That was some excellent beef stew. And our encouragement really becomes synonymous with a compliment. Encouragement in the Bible, I believe the word is parakletos, or it's pronounced somewhere like that. My Greek's not awesome. Encouragement in the Bible, 103 times in the New Testament, you'll see that word, and it doesn't mean give people compliments. It doesn't mean be complimentary. It's talking about pushing people, being strong not only with them, but sometimes towards them. I think about Paul's words from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, as he is encouraging the community of the church in Ephesus. It's a cult community. They're in competition with worshipers of other gods. And he knows that what it's going to take for them to stay together is not, great job singing today. It's, don't give up. You're better than that. You're stronger than that. You can push through that. Don't let them take away your joy. Or it might be something as more strong. It might be something like this. You have let them take away your joy, and you're acting right now not like a Christian, but like a child. And what I need and what God needs and what the rest of your community needs is for you to buck up, buddy. That's encouragement too. But we have to be wise in the way that we deliver that, with gentleness and respect and humility. Sometimes being encouraging is saying hard things to people when they need to hear hard things. Would you hit that for me one more time? It's actually going to be a few more times, but share an anonymous gift. Last year was tough for Sarah and I. We had some issues with our medical insurance, and we had some medical issues. And because of that, it came to our bills got pretty high. And we began to worry about holidays and time with family and different things like that. But let me tell you, I don't know who did this. I don't know who did this for us, but it made a huge difference in our weeks, in our life, in our months. Every once in a while, we would get a gift card in the mail to Kroger. We would get a gift card, and it would be what we needed to buy what we needed, to have what we needed. And I don't know who did that. They did it anonymously. And because they did it anonymously, I got to tell you, it was much easier to give God the glory. Because the focus was not on them. The focus was on the gift. And God received the glory. You want to really encourage somebody? Consider getting into the habit of doing some things anonymously for the purpose of God receiving the glory. If you hit that again, when possible, go beyond telling and into showing. Scripture tells us, John 3:16, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. It's more than telling somebody you love them. It's showing somebody that you love them. Go beyond your words and into actions. Go ahead and hit that one more time. Here's how you can receive encouragement. Learn to say thank you and set aside your need to immediately reciprocate. It's tough. Culturally, we are trained to do unto others as they have done to us and do it as quickly as we can. Right? You look great today. Well, so do you, brother. You know, you did good. So did you. We want to return the favor. People who are trying to encourage you aren't trying to do favors for you so that you'll immediately do them back. Any of you who have been a parent and celebrated a Christmas with a child, you've given your child a present that they can't possibly equal in monetary value, right? But for some reason, when we become adults and we go to Christmas together, we get worried about how much our sister is spending on our present, right? I need to spend exactly what she spent because I don't want to offend her. We can't live like that as encouragers. We give encouragement so that people receive it, so that their lives can be changed, not so that we can receive it. And in receiving encouragement, I know our tendency as Americans is to feel like we're in somebody's debt. Do your best to receive that. I think about Jesus when his feet are anointed with perfume. He didn't immediately look down at Mary Magdalene and say, "Hey, I'll get you back later." He received the gift. And in receiving, the giver was encouraged as well as the receiver. We have to learn to take encouragement without feeling like we're forced to give it back. Hit me again. take a step towards growth, peace, and the Lord as soon as possible. How many times did Jesus tell somebody, go and leave your sinful life behind? Go and sin no more. The best way you can receive encouragement is by enacting movement after receiving it. One of the best ways that you can take encouragement and do with it what the Lord would have you do is for you to act on the encouragement you have received. And I think you'd be great at this. I've noticed that you've got this talent and you should do it. Do it. Take the encouragement and run. Hit me one last time and we'll close. This scripture from Isaiah chapter 40. I'm going to read verses 28 through the end of the chapter. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord's the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary. And his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary. And young men will stumble and fall. In this world, you will have trouble, young or old. But those who hope on the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Some of us need to wait. Do you know that this word in this scripture is also translated as hope? In waiting on the Lord, there is hope. Some of you may be in a place of discouragement today. Some of you may need some of us as your brothers and sisters to gather around you and love and support you. Some of you may have been encouraged today and you realize that God has done more than tell. He has shown his love. And you have maybe decided that you're ready to give your life to Jesus Christ, to accept him and be clothed in him in the waters of baptism and have your sins washed away and receive God's precious gift of his Holy Spirit. Some of you may have other things that you need to share with us, and we invite you to do those things as together we stand up and we sing.